Hey there, innovators and tech enthusiasts. Welcome back to another episode of AI Unchained, your ultimate guide to the cutting edge of artificial intelligence, Web 3.0, and beyond. I'm Jack.
And I'm Core. Buckle up, folks, because we have an electrifying episode lined up for you today. From the latest breakthroughs in AI to the roller coaster ride of the crypto markets, and of course, a sprinkle of the most head-scratch worthy political decisions that intersect with our digital lives. It's going to be a wild ride.
Absolutely, Core. But before we dive into today's smorgasbord of topics, I gotta ask, did you see Elon's latest tweet storm about AI ethics?
Oh man, you know I did. He practically lit up Twitter like a proverbial Christmas tree. I have to say, it was pure gold watching the flurry of debates in the comments section.
Haha, classic Elon, always stirring the pot. Speaking of AI, I think starting off with some of those groundbreaking AI research updates would be a great way to kick things off. The advancements are coming in faster than a Tesla on ludicrous mode.
Oh, for sure, Jack. But let's not forget to sprinkle in some of that spicy crypto drama as well. I'll be giving you the 411 on the SEC's latest tussle with decentralized platforms. Spoiler alert, it's juicier than a summer watermelon.
Nice tease, Core. And for our viewers who love a good debate, we've got plenty of spicy takes brewing on the government's latest moves to regulate big tech. Trust us, you don't want to miss our uncensored thoughts on that.
Oh boy, you said it. It's going to be a mix of laughs, serious insights, and maybe even a few friendly arguments. Folks, grab your favorite beverage, get comfy, and let's get into it. This is AI Unchained.
All right, let's unleash the episode. Starting with the jaw-dropping advancements in AI over the past month, something that could completely turn the table on how we understand augmented reality.
Hold up, Jack. Before we geek out on the tech stuff, how about we hit them with a thank you? Shout out to all our amazing listeners for their awesome feedback and suggestions for today's episode.
You're right. Core, huge shout out to you all. Your insights and engagement are what keep us going. Don't forget to drop your thoughts and predictions in the comments. We love hearing from you.
And now, without further ado, let's dive into the mind-boggling world of AI and see what's new on the innovation horizon.
So, let's talk about this prediction from Stephen McClurg that Bitcoin could hit $150,000 by the end of the year. I mean, come on, isn't that insane?
Honestly, Jack, with the way things are going in the crypto space, it might not be all that crazy. Bitcoin has been smashing records right and left. And when you throw institutional investors into the mix, it's like adding gasoline to a fire.
True, true. But what's with McClurg dismissing Ethereum? He called it outdated tech. I think he's missing the bigger picture here. Ethereum's got a massive developer base, right? It's like the iPhone of the blockchain world.
Exactly, Jack. It's like saying, hey, yeah, this iPhone is old tech, when in reality, it's the ecosystem that's driving its staying power. All the apps, the developers, the whole infrastructure is hard to beat.
And let's not forget about the financial value tied to Ethereum. It's not just a platform, it's a whole economy. But what about these predictions of a bear market in 2026? Should we plan our retirements around this?
Laughs. Maybe we should. Look, predicting the market is a bit like weather forecasting. Sometimes they hit the mark, sometimes they don't. McClurg might have some insight, but we've all seen how notoriously volatile crypto can be.
For sure. Now, switching gears a bit, what do you make of the whole Litecoin resurrection story? I mean, comparing it to silver alongside Bitcoin's gold?
It's an interesting take. Litecoin has always been the underdog. Faster transaction times for smaller purchases could actually give it an edge, but I'm skeptical about it having a major comeback. It sounds more like an intriguing subplot than the main story.
Maybe Litecoin's like those vinyl records that make a comeback every few years. Nostalgic, but probably not going to dethrone the main players.
True analogy. What I find fascinating, though, is how certain months like August are flagged as bad for crypto. It's like seasonality in cryptocurrencies. Who knew?
Yeah, it's almost like they've got their own zodiac signs now. So, do you think we'll see this predicted volatility with political pressures on the Fed and all that?
Absolutely. The financial world doesn't operate in a vacuum. Macroeconomic factors play a big role. If the Fed cuts rates while inflation is still high, it's like throwing a huge party for investments like Bitcoin.
Right. It's this delicate dance of risk and reward. Crypto moves like both digital gold and a high-risk asset, as Magadini said. Speaking of which, in terms of risk, should we be concerned about Ethereum stakers lining up to withdraw ETH?
That's a double-edged sword, Jack. On one hand, it shows confidence as people stake their tokens. On the other hand, a massive withdrawal queue can hint at underlying issues. It's all about how the network adapts to these demands.
Indeed. It's like running a marathon. In midway, everyone decides they want to grab a drink at the same station. The ETH ecosystem has to handle these sudden rushes smoothly or risk a stumble.
Exactly. And right now, Ethereum seems to be managing pretty well, given it's still one of the top dogs. But Jack, what do you think about McClurg's floating the idea of a Litecoin ETF? Is it a gimmick or a genius?
Might be a bit of both. ETFs make crypto more accessible, and bringing Litecoin into the mix could attract a different audience. It's not a bad move, but it feels like an expansion pack rather than a new game.
Well put. And with all this action in the crypto space, it feels like we're just getting started. These forecasts, ETFs, new blockchains, it's an evolving saga.
Definitely. So keep your crypto secure, watch the market trends, and maybe, just maybe, we'll all retire to a private island by 2026.
Laughing if only. But that's all for this segment. Up next, let's dive into how these market movements are influencing global politics.
So, Core, speaking of AWS and its rapid advancements, the current managed runtime for Node is a game changer, isn't it? The way it optimizes initialization time with effective caching, it's just brilliant, right?
Absolutely, Jack. I mean, we're talking about a big leap in efficiency here. AWS supplying and managing Node for us reduces that dreaded initialization duration quite significantly. This essentially means we get to deploy faster and more efficiently.
It's like having a personal butler who preps everything in advance. Instead of waiting for that initial setup every single time, AWS sort of keeps everything ready in a kind of quick access cache.
Right. And here's the best part. We're not being billed for that initialization duration, at least not until August 1st, according to AWS's blog post. Not being charged for that setup time can dramatically cut costs for businesses, especially startups.
That's a huge saving. You know how delaying outcomes in tech always translates to money lost. Not paying for initialization means more budget can be allocated to other crucial areas like enhanced security features or marketing strategies.
Speaking of budgets, have you noticed how little things like this can alter a company's financial path? A simple cost saving on processes might free up funds to invest in innovations or scaling up projects more swiftly.
Exactly. And here's where it becomes practical and impactful. With these managed runtimes, developers can spend more time on refining their products and services rather than struggling with deployment issues. It's like moving from a horse-drawn carriage to a bullet train.
Yeah, it's all about cutting down that overhead. Hey, remember those old Lafayette receivers you used to talk about? The efficiency and reliability were everything back then, too. It's kind of similar to ensuring minimum failure rates with these managed solutions.
Oh, absolutely. Those receivers were marvels of their time, just like how managed runtimes are setting the bar high today. It's all about maximizing uptime and reliability. And just like the old valves in aircrafts designed to withstand the harshest conditions, today's cloud infrastructures are about withstanding and efficiently managing massive loads.
Right. And speaking of massive loads, what about the Russian defector's MiG-25 Foxpad? Breaking it down didn't just reveal crude technology, but an intriguing combination of functionality and durability. That's almost like AWS's approach. It might seem straightforward, but the robustness is where the magic lies.
Ah, good point. The simplicity paired with robust functionality is what makes them reliable. You've got to appreciate how tech evolves, but some principles stay the same.
It's evolution, not revolution, every time. And it's fascinating to see how these little advancements in AWS or Node are silently transforming the back-end landscape, just as those military aircraft had impeccable system engineering shrouded in simplicity, our current cloud systems do the same.
And CORR, let's not forget the human element here. By using managed runtime environments, developers can focus more on creativity rather than being bogged down by server-side worries. It's as freeing as when AI started doing the mundane, repetitive jobs so we humans could focus on higher-order tasks.
Totally, Jack. It's funny how every tech evolution loops back to giving us more room for innovation. We now have tools to tailor solutions that are deeply personalized, even for the smallest use cases, thanks to efficient managed services.
Yeah, it's like having the ultimate toolkit. You know, building software used to feel like constructing a building brick by brick. Now with these managed services, it's like using prefabricated sections. We get to spend more time on the exciting parts.
Exactly. And it allows small teams to achieve what used to be limited to large corporations with big IT budgets. Even a lone developer can create something massively impactful without worrying about the heavy lifting previously associated with server management.
It's democratization of technology at its best. And as AWS keeps evolving, so do we, along with our capability to innovate and deliver more powerful applications seamlessly.
Indeed, Jack. As we move forward, it's these incremental improvements that keep pushing the boundaries, making us more efficient, both in time and cost. Here's to hoping AWS keeps up the good work.
Okay, so we've been diving deep today. Let's switch gears back to something intriguing, shall we? Core, did you catch up on those recent fixes and updates in Node.js?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Especially the stuff around the JS doc definitions. Just look at that fix around assert data var. It's like finally someone took the time to clean up those docs. And Michael Enrique adding the array type in HTTP request headers. That's a game changer.
Totally. It's funny how something seemingly minor, like proper JS doc definitions, can make such a huge difference. It's almost like finding the hidden missing piece in a puzzle. Makes our lives easier and cleaner.
Speaking of clean, have you seen those triode and tetrode valves side by side? HP and RCA just taking the bet on deeper stamping to keep numbers visible. It's pretty robust. I wish my old electronics had that kind of foresight. Half of my gear looks like it's been through a sandstorm.
Haha, right? It's smart durability. But the surprising bit is how valve technology kept thriving even when transistors and integrated circuits were already on the scene. They just filled this niche need perfectly.
Yeah, like a burrito in the middle of a steakhouse. Everyone loves it despite the competition. And those early integrated circuits, tiny little marbles with several transistors and some resistors arranged like they were part of some secret club.
Those ICs were like the pioneers setting the stage for the silicon jungle we have today. Billions of transistors on one chip now. Can you imagine the culture shock between engineers from 1958 and today's tech scene?
I bet they would faint looking at a 4090 graphics card. They moved from crude circuits to field effect transistors in a year, and boom. Here we are talking about 720p video generation at 24 frames per second on consumer-grade graphics cards. It's like transitioning from a horse-drawn carriage to a Tesla overnight.
Oh man, that analogy, perfect. And the thing about the TI-2V model supporting text-to-video and image-to-video generation, that's some next-level stuff.
Right. It makes rendering those video sequences feel like child's play now. And that compression ratio, 16 by 16 by 4, it's like magic. You throw a bunch of gibberish at it and it spits out high-def content.
Honestly, if anyone told me a few years ago this would be possible on a home computer, I would have laughed them out of the room. But here we are. Revolutionizing both industrial and academic sectors simultaneously.
And the transition between high noise and low noise experts based on signal to noise ratio could be straight out of a sci-fi novel. It's that meticulous attention to detail in denoising stages that blows my mind.
Exactly. Managing SNR to enhance image quality? It's genius. They even defined those stages with threshold steps and switched experts when needed. Reminds me of efficient team management strategies.
Speaking of efficiency, these Dyna rules for matrix multiplication or Fibonacci sequence generation, it's math geek's heaven. You set up these recursive steps and bam, it's all automated.
Oh yes, CKY parsing rules. It's meticulous and layered perfectly. To normal folks, it might sound like alien language, but it's core to understanding how these systems process information.
Haha, yeah, and neural networks using sigma functions for activation? To some, it's just mathematical gibberish. But hey, slap a few weight matrices and it's the brain behind our smart gadgets.
And for anyone still confused, let's just say, it's like teaching your car to recognize pineapple from a banana and making decisions based on it.
Right, and linking it all back, I think without advances like those valves and integrated circuits back in 58, we wouldn't be enjoying smooth transitions in today's AI-powered world. Just incredible.
Exactly. All right, let's keep this momentum going. What's next on our tech agenda?
On it. Let's delve into...
So, Core, Back on the topic of LinkedIn and your professional presence online, what's your strategy? I mean, we all know it's owned by Microsoft and they're just looking to make a buck off our time spent on the site.
Honestly, Jack, my strategy is to focus on doing meaningful work over constantly updating my profile, depth over frequency. It's tempting to just churn out content to stay visible, but in the long run, substantial achievements speak louder.
Exactly. I couldn't agree more. It's like that classic dilemma. Should I attend this networking event or spend time honing a new skill? I know some folks who swear by endless networking, but if you ask me, your actual work and the abilities that you bring to the table are far more impactful.
Oh, totally. And it's funny you mentioned networking events. I get so anxious before them. It's like, do people actually remember these meet and greets for more than 5 minutes? I live with my mom and she's like my emotional support for these things. It's more productive for me to focus on making some solid progress in a project.
Huh, I get that feeling too. It's like Guangzi Chen said about exotic materials and quantum computers. Innovative, substantial efforts will pave the way for future advancements. Not just because someone noticed you in a crowded room, but because you did work that fundamentally changes things.
Speaking of which, investing our time in serious projects, like improving tiny Lisp implementations, can have a real ripple effect. Having more built-in Lisp primitives, strings, macros, exceptions, execution tracing, file loading, and RIPL can genuinely expand the scope of what you can achieve.
Yeah, those tiny Lisp projects you mentioned. Adding all those new features is way more impressive than constantly updating your LinkedIn status or joining yet another webinar. And those improvements can lead people to discover your work in more substantial ways.
Right. And shifting gears a bit to business, it's like the EU's efforts to safeguard digital regulations. This impacts tech companies at a fundamental level. Overregulation or underregulation can change the landscape much more than superficial gestures.
Absolutely. It's like the standoff between the EU and the US over the Digital Services Act. Real policy changes, not just posting about them online, drive the market behaviors. Speaking of which, private markets are seeing demand for secondary funds increase due to accounting quirks allowing discounted purchases.
Such strategic moves and real-world applications. Investors see an opportunity to affect change, just like how substantive work in tech, rather than just visibility on LinkedIn, can lead to meaningful career advancements. It's all about where you put your effort, right?
Yeah, man. Doing work that matters and strategically drawing attention to it. Like focusing on a project instead of jumping into the latest trend. That's honestly the best long-term strategy, both professionally and in wider economic contexts. All right, folks, that brings us to the end of today's episode. We've covered a lot of ground, from the latest breakthroughs in AI technology, the ins and outs of recent business shifts, to the political tremors shaking the tech world.
Absolutely, Jack. I think our chat about quantum computing really hit the mark. It's fascinating to see how these advancements could revolutionize entire industries. And let's not forget the lively debate we had over the ethical implications of AI and political campaigns.
Right. Core Plus. Our discussion on the recent merger between those two tech giants was both insightful and a bit heated. Your point about market monopolies had me on my toes.
Haha. Glad I could keep you sharp, Jack. But in all seriousness, these conversations are crucial for understanding where we're headed as a society.
100%. And we can't overlook the humorous exchange about AI-generated art winning that prestigious competition. Who knew robots could be the next Picasso?
Seriously, that was a fun tangent. It's moments like these that make our discussions both informative and entertaining. For everyone listening, we hope you got as much out of this as we did.
So, thank you for joining us today on AI Unchained. Your time and attention mean a lot to us.
We hope you enjoyed our discussions and gained some valuable insights. Keep the curiosity burning and stay tuned for more.
See you next time, and until then, keep those neurons firing.